God is a holy and righteous God and a just God, and any just God must be just in their actions. God cannot break his character. He is holy, righteous, and just. And therefore, God must, by his character of righteousness and justice, judge sin.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina, and our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, as we finish our time in this section, there is a recurrent theme that we will talk about at the close of the broadcast.
Yes, Dave, and that theme is reemphasized in the New Testament. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 49 and finish our look at verses 8 through 28.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
And it appears that Issachar is going to be like the tribe, like a strong donkey, but then lays between the sheepfolds, kind of not so smart, and kind of rests in a way that ultimately puts him into slave labor. I think that's what's being said here. I'm not going to apply this. So many teachers apply one thing this way and that way. How can you have two different applications? I'm not sure what it means, but I do understand it's about the future. And Issachar will be a strong donkey that finds rest, but that rest will be turned into slavery. You know, it's just like the way we are as we try to alleviate things apart from Christ. We turn out being enslaved by it, don't we? Possible. Next, we come to Dan. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Remember, Dan was the firstborn to Jacob through Rachel's maid Bilhah. And at this point, Dan might be wondering, am I going to get an inheritance? I'm through the concubine. These other ones had been through his wives. We're going to see that he does. But yet, there's some problems that happen when there's some issues with the tribe of Dan that causes that to be removed. The term Dan means to judge or to vindicate. And we have another word play here in our passage. Dan is going to vindicate or judge his people. That's the tribe of Israel. I'm not sure how that plays out in Israel's history. There's not a lot of clear understanding how that plays out, but it says that. Then we have this statement, verse 17, it's kind of interesting. Dan shall be a serpent in the way, a horned snake in the path, that bites the horse's heels so the rider falls backwards. Dan's going to be like the snake that's in the way, it's in the path, that inhibits something, and it bites like one that bites a horse in the heels. Now, the imagery of a snake is not always good. Mostly it's bad. And we have one element that it can be thought of as good, as wise as a serpent, as innocent as a dove, right? Snakes are wise in a sense in that way. You know, they're calculated in a sense. But most of the time, the term regarding a snake isn't a compliment. And I think in this case, it probably is not a compliment because of the element of being in the way and biting here. I think we see this here. You'll remember in Judges chapter 18, we have an account of the tribe of Dan and their apostasy. The tribe of Dan went into idolatry and apostasy. And it's thought because of this wickedness that we see in Judges chapter 18 that their name is not placed with the tribes in Revelation chapter 7. It appears that possibly this foreshadowing of what would happen to the tribe of Dan shows that they would be something that would get in the way. They would be in the way and they would cause death and danger. What does idolatry do? What does someone who turns people's hearts away do? I think that's possibly what's being said concerning the tribe of Dan. And I think it's reinforced by what Jacob does at this point. He breaks out in exclamation of salvation and the hope of that. In light of Dan's future and their sin, he says, verse 18, "For thy salvation I wait, O Lord." All of a sudden, bless this one, do this one. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, "For I wait for thy salvation." Dan's going to be this way. This isn't good. "For I wait for thy salvation," verse 18. Jacob is a true believer. He waits for Yeshua, salvation. That's the first use of this word in the Old Testament at this point. He waits for thy salvation. It's God's salvation. You see, the culmination of Jacob's salvation had not come. He was going to die this day. And he's waiting for salvation. What is he talking about? The reality is those before the cross looked forward to the culmination of their salvation in all the symbolism that pointed to it, those sacrifices which pointed to the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. We look back now to the cross concerning what Jesus Christ has done. He says, "For I wait for thy salvation, O Yahweh, O Lord." Salvation is alone in the Lord. There's no other place to be saved. There's no other way to be saved. It is in the Lord. If you'll remember what the angel tells Joseph in Matthew chapter 21, he says, "And she will bear a son," speaking of his wife Mary, "and you shall call his name Yeshua," or Jesus, "for he will save his people from their sins." It is a cognitive that. It means Yahweh saves, Yeshua. The Lord is salvation. Friends, there is salvation in no one else. Acts 4:12, "And there is salvation in no one else, and no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." You see, everyone has a problem. God is a holy and righteous God and a just God, and any just God must be just in their actions. God cannot break his character. He is holy, righteous, and just. And therefore, God must, by his character of righteousness and justice, judge sin. And we have all sinned and fallen short. We have all disobeyed God. We have all sinned. And yet that very same God who judges sent his son to die for our sins. And ultimately that son, Jesus Christ, would be the judge. It is through Jesus Christ that the penalty of eternal punishment was taken away through the forgiveness of sins. In light of Dan's sinfulness, Jacob breaks out and proclaims he is waiting for the Lord's salvation. You know, on a different sense, we have been saved. We are being saved. We will be saved. We've been justified through faith in Jesus Christ. We've been saved. But also in Scripture, we see we are being set apart. We are being made more like Christ. And ultimately, our salvation will be culminated where there's no more sin, no more sorrow, no more tears, where death is no longer and sin is no longer. I hope you look forward to that. I hope you wait for thy salvation in Christ. So we have next Gad, Asher, and Naphtali, verse 19. "As for Gad, raiders shall raid him, but he shall raid at their heels." Now the term raid, that's a wordplay on the word Gad in Hebrew. It's like Gad, and it has all sorts of different wordplays translated raiders there. And then he says, "As for Asher, his food shall be rich, and he shall yield royal dainties." That's interesting. I don't think we talk that way, but royal dainties. "Naphtali is a doe let loose. He gives beautiful words." Again, these blessings coming forth inspired by the Spirit of God through Jacob. We have from Leah's maid Zilpah, we have the sons born Gad and Asher. Gad means how fortunate, and it seems like there's a wordplay on it which speaks of armed conflict. Somehow there would be armed conflict in the tribes. Asher means happy or happy one. "And as for Asher, his food shall be rich, and he shall yield royal dainties." It obviously speaks of enjoying wealth. There's prosperity, I think. That's what it's pointing to. "Naphtali was the son of Rachel's maid Bilhah." Naphtali is a doe, that's a deer, let loose. "He gives beautiful words." Now, some have thought that this speaks of the Lord Jesus talking in Isaiah 9:1 about sharing in the land of Naphtali and also in Matthew chapter 4. I don't think so, because it's not speaking of the tribe that Jesus came from. It's speaking of Naphtali. So in some way, Naphtali and that tribe would bring forth beautiful words. And we know beautiful words ultimately have to do with God's word. Now, I'm not sure of those exact interpretations, but now we come to the last two sons through Rachel. Notice Joseph's blessings. Verse 22, "Joseph is a fruitful bough." I had to look that up. I didn't know how to pronounce that. Joseph is a fruitful bough. And what that means, it's like a tree. It's like a really large tree. "A fruitful bough by the spring, its branches run over the wall." Here, Jacob, inspired by the Spirit, proclaims what Joseph is like at that time. Not the tribe, what it's going to be, which we'll see in a minute, but what it is at that time. Joseph is a fruitful bough by a spring, its branches run over the wall. He's like a luxuriant, fruitful tree. It's a picture. Indeed, this is a reference to the blessings that God had brought forth in Joseph as prime minister, the number one man underneath Pharaoh, most powerful man in the world underneath Pharaoh, and the blessings that God had brought Joseph. Joseph threw this way. But remember, Joseph gave God all the glory. Joseph was not a man who looked to those things. He was a man who gave God the glory and trusted in him. But notice, Jacob doesn't leave out the reality of how God brought those blessings. Verse 23, the archers bitterly attacked him and shot him and harassed him. But his bow remained firm and his arms were agile. This, I believe, speaks of what happened to Joseph. Joseph was treated horribly. His brothers wanted to kill him. They put him in a pit. He pleaded to them. We see that. He pleaded to them. They didn't listen. They then sold him into slavery. He was a slave. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, put in prison. But his bow remained firm. His arms were agile. Now, we know in the context that he was firm in the midst of these trials because God was with him. Remember those phrases? You see, in the midst of the trial, the Lord God used those trials to bless him. He was a luxuriant tree because God had brought that forth through the difficulties of man who had attacked him. And when you're being attacked, when it's not right, trust that the Lord is working through that for his good. Trust that he is. He says there's the archers bitterly attacked him. They shot him and harassed him, but his bow remained firm and his arms were agile. You see, brothers and sisters, when we endure trials for trusting Christ, we are blessed. We are blessed. Let me share a few passages, because ultimately Joseph is going to be blessed. And we see that he is blessed. Let me share a couple passages. Look at James chapter 1. Let's turn to James 1. Joseph didn't complain. He trusted the Lord. He endured long periods of long trials, falsely accused. Many things happened to Joseph, and God used those very evil things to bless Joseph and his family. And we need to remember that when evil comes upon us through men, ultimately from Satan, our enemy, but through men. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it all joy, my brethren. Reckon it. Put it on the accounting slate. That word consider has no emotion to it. It's an accounting term. Mark it up as joy. Consider it all joy, my brethren. He says here, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing or proving, it proves where you really are with Christ. By the way, your trials, they do make you more like Christ, but actually, most of all, they test you and show you where you really are at with Christ, by the way. You can think, boy, I'm really walking with the Lord. Then trouble comes and we see where we really are at, right? He says that the proving or testing your faith produces what? Endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. And then go down to verse 12. What a wonderful statement. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial. Doesn't slip out. Did Joseph persevere? You bet he did. The Lord was with him. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, demonstrated to be truly trusting in that sense, in the context. He says here, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Then turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. There's blessing when you endure trials. There's blessing. There's blessing when people shoot arrows at you because you're being obedient. God uses it for good, what man means for evil. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing. There we go again. For your proving. Testing. As though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree you share the sufferings for your sin, no. To the degree you share the sufferings of Christ. How did Christ suffer? People mocked him. They falsely accused him. They berated him. They ultimately led him up and betrayed him and crucified him, right? Sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that at the revelation of his glory you may rejoice with exaltation. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed. You're blessed. Because the Spirit of glory in God rests on you. You are blessed. Joseph was blessed because God used evil and turned it to good. We got to see that. Joseph was assailed by men and women, meaning it for evil, but God blessed him through the difficulties. And notice what's interesting, we have some statements with these terms from, and I think they all point to ultimately the Messiah who would come from the living God, who would ultimately be the one who is blessing Joseph. It is God who is blessing Joseph. And we have some names for God declared here so that Joseph sees and understands, and the brothers see, and that Israel sees, and that we understand who it is that blesses us in our trials and difficulties. From the hands, middle of verse 24, of the mighty one of Jacob. This is Jacob's mighty God. Jacob's following the Lord. From there is a shepherd. Obviously, from God, God sent forth his son, Jesus Christ. There is a shepherd, the stone of Israel. We have a panoply of the names of God. From the mighty one of Jacob, this mighty God, Jacob's mighty God. And he says here, he reveals that from him is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Do you remember when Jacob was blessing Joseph's sons back in chapter 48? Just look back there, verse 15 for a second. He said, middle of verse 15, 48, 15, the God whom my father Abraham, Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all the days of my life. Jacob finally understood that God was shepherding him, disciplining him when he wasn't following him, making his life difficult, unpleasant. But he was shepherding him. He was shepherding him, the God who has been my shepherd. If you're a true believer, the Lord is your shepherd. When you make mistakes, he corrects us. He loves us. He's gracious. He's kind. He's saying, from there is a shepherd. And then he says, the stone of Israel. Now, certainly this speaks of an attribute of the living God being our rock, but it's more than that. The stone of Israel. You see, I believe he's speaking of the person of Christ here, who is the stone which the builders rejected, Psalm 118. Is a choice cornerstone laid in Zion, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. He who believes in him will not be disappointed. He is the foundation of everything, the stone of Israel. It's Jesus Christ. He is the foundation of our salvation. And then notice this other description, verse 25. From the God of your father who helps you. God helps. Joseph was helped. This rock, Jesus Christ, who was his shepherd, helped him. The term is Azer. It's the same word that's spoken of a wife in Genesis. I will make him a suitable helper, Azer. God is a helper. God is a helper. There's lots of passages. I wish we had time to share them. Lots of passages about God's help. I'm going to share just a real quick couple. Psalm 33:20, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Psalm 40, verse 17, thou art my helper, my deliverer. Psalm 54, verse 4, behold, God is my helper, the sustainer of my soul. Psalm 63, now there's tons in the Psalms. If you just look at the word helper, Psalm 63, 5 through 9, and I'll just share verse 7, for thou hast been my help, and in the shadow of thy wings I sing for joy. Thou hast been my help. You've been my help. God is our helper. The Lord is our helper. Psalm 121, verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the mountains from whence my help. I think there's a wordplay there. The Israelites would look to the hills for their God, for those things they worshipped on there. I'll look to the mountains. Where does my help come from? It doesn't come from there. It comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither sleep or slumber. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this day forth forevermore. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord. Joseph. Jacob says he's my mighty God, the shepherd. The stone of Israel, my helper, the helper. This is the one that's blessing you, Joseph. This is the one that blessed you. And he blessed you through trials. He blessed you through difficulties. Verse 26, middle of 26, and the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the depth that lies beneath. That's just the expanse of blessing from top to bottom. We as believers have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, right? God is a God who blesses those who are really his, and he does it right now at times through adversity and difficulty. He says, blessings of the breast and womb, obviously that's speaking of his children. The blessings of your father have surpassed the blessings of my ancestors. He's saying Jacob's blessings actually surpassed his ancestors, and now Joseph, yours are surpassing. up the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. Middle of 26, may these expansive blessings be on the head of Joseph, on the crown of his head, the one who is distinguished among his brothers. Remember the dreams Joseph had? His brothers would bow down. God brought forth that prophetic dream for him, and the father and mother would bow down. He was distinguished. He was distinguished through difficulty. The Lord was with him, and God raised him up to do what he did. What do you think of in the context of adversity? Do you see it as God's way to conform you to the image of Christ, to actually bless you? Last blessing here, verse 27. Benjamin is a ravenous wolf. In the morning he devours the prey, in the evening he divides the spoil. This speaks of one who has quick and mighty victories. I think that would speak to what the tribe of Benjamin would achieve in the land. And then a summary, verse 28. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel. This is what their father said to them when he blessed them. He blessed them, every one of them, with the blessing appropriate to him. You see, true blessing comes in the person of Christ. Genesis is about blessing, coming through the seed of Abraham, Eve's seed, through the line of Judah. The one who would come, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who would come and die for our sins. Have you been blessed with salvation? You know, there's a lot of externalism, religiousness out there where the heart isn't right. There's those who could care less about God. But either way, there hasn't been a submitted heart. Have you realized your sinfulness and turned to Christ to be blessed with salvation? Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord in humility and truth, we see, will be saved. For those of us who are saved, we need to learn from Jacob's faith. At the end of the year, he did trust the Lord. He saw the Lord as his shepherd. He saw the Lord as the rock of Israel. He saw the Lord as his help, and he recognized that and declared that truth to his son Joseph. Do you see him that way? Do you see your trials that way? He is the rock. He is the shepherd. He is the Almighty. He is our help.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Well, Greg, at the opening of today's broadcast, I mentioned that there's a recurring theme introduced with the account of Joseph and reemphasized in the New Testament.
And that theme is how to properly view trials as an obedient believer. And those New Testament passages are Romans 8:28 and James 1, verses 2 through 4. You see, believer, once saved, God is going to begin the process of conforming you to the image of Christ, which will be manifest in various trials. The question becomes, will you trust the Lord through them and know that he works all things together for good to those that love him? God used Joseph to provide the historical case study for us to emulate. There's now no mystery as to why trials occur, unless you're persisting in sin. Now, as God takes you through various trials, your confidence in him as a shepherd will develop, and you will recognize how and when he is working in your life. Remember, brothers and sisters, once saved, our desire is to become more and more like Christ and to finish well. Now, friend, until you come to Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, your trials are in vain as you reap what you sow from sin. You can change that by coming to the Lord Jesus in prayer, confession of sin, repentance, and acknowledging that he paid the price for your sin with his shed blood on the cross, and then you can follow him as Lord. The time is now. Turn and trust in Jesus Christ.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.